I'm Jeannie.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Nikki from Tyrion's Landing,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network,
just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1...
This is It, the part of your week where you get to put your headphones on, relax, and listen to a bunch of geeks geek out about geeky things. They're passionate.
As a Canadian, I will say that more than likely, I'm just going to get screwed another way. That's the way it always works.
They're knowledgeable.
Maybe that's where life began, on MU69. We don't know.
And sometimes they're a bit angry.
Skype, I'm breaking up with you. It's not me, it's totally you.
Gunna Geek Productions presents the official GunnaGeek.com show.
Welcome to episode 214 of the official GunnaGeek.com show. I am Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is Chris Farrell.
This is 213 more episodes than I ever thought we'd do.
Well, for me, it's 214 more than I thought we'd ever do. We also have, of course, Stargate Pioneer.
It's fun, and guess what, guys? I was at the hardware store on the way home getting some glue to fix some furniture, and as I was approaching the big box store, guess what wheeled out? A Christmas tree in a box. Yes, it is Christmas season in the stores.
No, bad stores. Bad stores.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing, is I actually bought Christmas lights today. And the reason why, I actually wasn't planning on it, because I wasn't putting up my lights for a little bit, but I was at Costco, and the ones that match the lights that I have now, I'm anticipating a couple dead strands, as you always do. Costco had only like 15 boxes left of them, so was I going to wait and then not have mismatching lights? No, so I bought some today, so there you go.
Are they smart lights, Steven?
They're not smart lights, but as you know from our wonderful Christmas episode last year, you'll see that they're all on smart timers and stuff. But
fired.
Yes, we are the official GunnaGeek.com show, and here we talk about the latest happenings in the world of geek, whether it is geek news or whether it is smart home talk. We're going to talk about it. And just so you know, Stargate Pioneer is the resident home gadget guru.
Yeah, because I have so much smart stuff around the house. You know, actually, I was thinking today, I need to get myself a smart thermostat so somebody can hack into it and roast me out of my own home in a few months.
It's a really good idea.
Right now, I'm doing it.
I was actually just thinking about smart thermostats the other day, and then I remembered I have baseboard heating, and that would be very expensive to buy one for every room.
Look, SP, your heat's set for 68 degrees right now. I'm going to turn it up a little more.
For you audio listeners, Chris just held up the control to apparently a smart thermostat, so obviously he's got one, or he is actually hacked in to Stargate Pioneer's non-existent one.
This is the one that's in Stargate Pioneer's house. Actually, the other one was my house by accident.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Okay.
I see. Well, nice to know I have a smart one. You're going to have to give me the code on how in the app to actually control it, because I have no idea how to do it.
I snuck into your house and spliced it in inside the wall so no one would ever know about it, just to screw with you. That's how committed I am to this bit.
So, wow, that is very committed, because it's actually the wall that the thermostat is in a main area, and I would definitely notice the hole cut in the wall.
It's actually, I went to a utility closet and I installed it just past where you can see. There's another line that goes up to your thermostat, but that's just trickery.
Yeah, you're right. We are part of the Gunna Geek Network, and also on the Gunna Geek Network is a wonderful show called Super Geeky Playdate, which you can find at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, including episode 59 titled The Top 5 Soundtracks, where in the Super Geeky Playdate episode 59, their good friend Max drops in, and they also have an arch nemesis pop on by. Check that out. That's Super Geeky Playdate episode 59 at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And while you're there, you should also check out the wonderful product called All Things Good and Nerdy. On All Things Good and Nerdy episode 285, Justin Prime joins the show to talk about a Kickstarter. You should check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Chris Farrell, he doesn't personally watch it himself. He doesn't really recommend All Things Good and Nerdy himself. But, Chris, what do you think of All Things Good and Nerdy?
I think that their producer's a hack, and whoever runs the board when they do things live never gets it right.
No, seriously, that's Chris' show, and he does stream that live on Sunday.
I stand by what I just said.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and get into the news. In this week's news, we're going to go ahead and start off with some awesome news. If you like to video game, especially like late 90s video gaming, right, Chris?
That's right. We're going to talk about Cody Goff's favorite game, Castlevania, and why he should review it on Game Life Balance US when they return. Oh, no, wait. We're not talking about Castlevania. Let's go back in time to the mid 90s to a middle school aged Chris who learned about a game called StarCraft, an RTS game made by Blizzard. I loved it. Did you guys play the original StarCraft? Any of you guys? StarCraft and StarCraft Brood Wars?
Yeah, I actually still get harassed for a comment that I made on there. And I also once got in a lot of trouble for just, you know, dicking around in the game. So there
yeah,
you go.
so did we. It might have been in middle school. We had the computer lab and we had to build the computers for it. And we got done building them like 2 weeks ahead of time. Well, if you had the original StarCraft CDs, you could install what they called was a spawn copy of StarCraft on there, which meant it literally would only run the multiplayer. So it might have been for this class in middle school, all we did for three straight weeks was play StarCraft during it. Oops.
You know, I actually, it's funny enough, I did definitely play StarCraft in StarCraft 2, but I don't remember a lot about it. I don't remember it being like something that I regularly fired up.
So it was for me. And why did we bring up this trip down nostalgia lane to go and talk about a middle school aged Chris? Well, if you guys remember, it was probably about a year ago, StarCraft, the original version, went free to play on Blizzard's website. You could go on there, download the Battle.net downloader and play the original for free. It was awesome. It was great. And if you're a big fan of Blizzard stuff right now, you might have realized they just did their massive convention called BlizzCon this past weekend, where one of the announcements was StarCraft 2 is going free to play starting November 14th. They announced that at the BlizzCon convention, the new free version of the game will offer access to the Wings of Liberty single player campaign, which is pretty much the first of the three campaign packs. Along with every co-op level through level 5, Blizzard is also making the game's online ranked competitive multiplayer available for free with access to all of the units across all three StarCraft 2 expansion packs, although you have to unlock them by playing through the first 10 wins of the day feature. I don't know what that is because I don't play competitive because I'm not good at StarCraft. I just like it. And here's another catch for you guys. If you already own Wings of Liberty, which is the first pack, Blizzard will be offering the second expansion for StarCraft 2 entitled Heart of the Swarm for free instead. So if you used to play StarCraft and you missed it and you want to come back to it now, now's the chance to do it, because StarCraft 1 is free. StarCraft 2 is free. Go back, play the campaign, live those great memories you used to have, and then remember, oh yeah, when I play this thing in multiplayer, I just get my butt handed to me and never play it multiplayer.
I have a feeling SP never played StarCraft 2.
Was it available on the Atari 2600?
Just the N64.
Which was the one that you could go in and nuke people?
You could do that with the Terrans in StarCraft 1.
Was that, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know.
You could use ghosts. There was also Command and Conquer you're thinking of too, I think.
I don't know. They all blend together. Like I said, I played like the StarCrafts and it just, I don't know. I never really got into it. Like I legitimately can't remember the difference between the games because I just wasn't that into it. I played them. But all right, so let me ask you this, Chris Farrell. Are you excited about this? Are you going to dig it up? Are you going to start playing it?
I was excited about it 3 years ago when I first bought StarCraft 2 and all of the expansions that are sitting installed on my computer. So I already own them, so I've already played through all of them. But I think it's great for someone who is a lapsed fan or sold their copies or lost their copies years ago, because now they can go back and get that nostalgia kick again.
You know what you should probably do? You should probably gift it to somebody.
Their digital codes I've already redeemed. I don't think I can.
Oh, well, that's just too bad. That's a waste. You didn't think that one through, Chris.
You just want my StarCraft
copies.
What
he should do then, if he wants to gift it, is he should put his computer in a box and he should send that computer to the person he's gifting the game to.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that, because that doesn't... next news point.
It's funny you should mention that. That's how Cody got a copy of Castlevania to review on the next episode of Game Life Balance US. Remember, tweet at producer Cody telling him that you want him to review Castlevania.
If you're not familiar with this, by the way, you should definitely go to twitter.com/producer Cody. The wonderful team Game Life Balance US, him and John Martin, aka the king of the podcast plus Cody, they're coming on back, and they're going to be bringing back their show in November, and they've got a poll going on, and we encourage you to write in the option of Castlevania. So check that out. That's twitter.com/producer Cody. Now, speaking of speaking things on Twitter, people spoke about the... No, there's no segue there. Apple learned from Google this past week. We talked briefly on here about how the Google Pixel 2 is having some screen problems. There's a bit of burning going on. There's weird colors. A lot of these traits are absolutely related to OLED screens, OLED screens. Now, obviously, they seem a little bit more extreme on the Pixel, but if you look at OLED, that's one of the reasons why apparently Apple hasn't gone to these screen types yet, because there are sometimes these problems where it burns in, and then sometimes off axis, the color will be a little bit odd. Now, the iPhone X is one that has gone to OLED, if you're not familiar with it. So it's a new type of screen for Apple. And after the Pixel 2 problems that have come out, Apple has definitely smartened up, and they've actually put out a bit of a warning to people, just a little word to the wise about the iPhone X. What they did was they posted this document that essentially tells people about these problems. They outlined the risk of possible burn-in on the iPhone X. You can check this article out at geeks.link/burn. It's geeks.link/burn. And what they say is, if you look at OLED displays off angle, you might notice slight shifts in color and hue. This is a characteristic of OLED and is normal behavior. With extended long-term use, OLED displays can also show slight visual changes. This is also expected behavior and can include, quote, image persistence, end quote, or, quote, burn-in, where the display shows a faint remnant of an image even after a new image appears. So definitely Apple has gotten ahead of this, because the last thing they want is another gate on their fingers, on their hands. And I think that this is definitely a smart move of theirs, because the reality is that the whole OLED screen is new to the Apple fan base. And so for them to get ahead of this and make sure that they are actually putting a bit of a warning in, I think, is a smart move, especially given the Pixel 2 problems. So kudos to Apple for doing this. I think that it is a good educational piece, and it's problems that they just can't overcome because everybody has them.
Welcome to Android 3 years ago. 4 years ago, even.
So I saw a interesting review of the iPhone X, and I just didn't see anything with it that said, oh, you got to have that over the iPhone 8 Plus, even with the supposed larger screen. The top has that notch in it, and it just doesn't look... I know it is, but it doesn't look like a larger screen. So I'm like, why would I pay more money? Why would I wait longer for my phone? Why would I do it? And the phone is going to be old technology in 10 months. There's going to be something better available in 10 months, even if it's just marginally available. It's going to be better. Matter of fact, the iPhone, I don't know what they're going to call it, 11, 9, whatever, plus, will probably be better than the iPhone X right now, iPhone 10, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, I'm sorry, guys. No, it's not worth it. I don't think the iPhone 8 Plus is worth all the money it's worth. So yeah, if you are tight on a budget, I think the iPhone 7 is just fine for you.
Here's the thing with cell phones anymore. Better is so freaking subjective. Now we're past the point where, like, between a generation of cell phones, you see massive changes in improvement in battery, improvement in processor. Everything is such an incremental upgrade now. That's why they start going to, like, the curved screens, because that was a way to try and make it differentiate, to make people want to upgrade. Steven's been asking me for a while, Chris, when are you going to upgrade to a different phone? Because it's the mental exercise I always do. What's the next phone I want? And you know what? I got a a Nexus 6P right here. I've had it for a year and a half. It's a 2 or 3 year old phone. It works just fine for everything I want to do. Yeah, it stutters every once in a while. Yeah, the camera's a little slow, but I paid $400 for it a year and a half ago, and it's doing everything I need it to right now. When the battery starts to crap out or something like that, maybe I'll go and change things. But the cell phone life cycle is to the point now where, unless you're really just a tech enthusiast, there's really no reason to upgrade every year. You don't even have to upgrade every 2 years, depending on what you're rolling with right now. So just get what looks like fun to you.
We've talked about it before. I ran 3 years between upgrades. I had a 6 Plus. I'm at an 8 Plus now. It was worth the wait. I got the 256 in storage. Okay. But I also paid a heck of a lot more than I probably should have. So back to your news point, though, with the OLED displays. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why the iPhone X is so expensive, is that it had to go through so many rejected screens and the production rate was a lot lower in order to get what they're getting, which isn't even meeting demand. The last I heard, it was at least 5 weeks between order and when one was expected to ship. And I bet you that's even gotten bigger.
Well, that being said, the iPhone X screen is gorgeous. Samsung makes beautiful OLED screens. You can even look at the Pixel 2. Notice I said 2, not XL, which has a Samsung screen and looks awesome. The lesson learned here is, if you want a good OLED screen, pay the money to Samsung. Don't go and get the LG OLED screen. Google invested a bunch of money in them to crank out OLED screens, and the Pixel 2 XL screen just does not meet up with what the Samsung version is. That's all there is to it.
Now, what's interesting, since you're talking about the screen, is they actually, on their article, which again is geeks.link/burn, you can find that they say, we've engineered the Super Retina display to be the best in industry in reducing the effects of OLED burn-in. And to me, I'm like, no. Like, you know, you didn't do anything with that screen. It is a Samsung screen. What you probably did was add a couple of pieces of software that moves it a little bit, but everybody else does that too. So that's just some BS right there.
You know how you stop burning? You don't use your screen, which is kind of not what you get a phone for.
I bought a brand new phone and I don't use it.
I'm just going to keep it on a shelf, and then I'm going to occasionally use it when I need an emergency use. Other than that, I'm rolling with my iPhone 8. Because it's a, like, status symbol to have the 10.
Yeah, that's like the rich guy that gets the Lamborghini. Do you ever drive it? Oh, no. I wouldn't want to drive it. I have to go 12 miles between $200,000 tune-ups.
All right, let's get to your void.
Yeah, so what happened this past week was really cool, because I was able, through NASA, to go and actually into a sector of space in the Gamma Quadrant and name this really cool nebula SP's Void. So we're going to talk about this SP's Void in the Gamma Quadrant. It's really cool. No, that's not what we're talking about at all.
Damn.
What we're talking about is a chamber that was discovered, quote unquote discovered. It wasn't really discovered, but we'll just call it discovered, in one of Egypt's great pyramids. And I got this information from a phys.org article by Brian Rohan that was published on November 2nd. And it was actually running off of an article that was published that same day in Nature magazine. So scientists say they have found a hidden chamber in Egypt's Great Pyramid of Giza. And it is supposed to be the first great discovery in this structure since the 19th century, and one to likely spark a new surge of interest in the pharaohs, but we'll get to why that really isn't the case. Anyway, in an article published in Nature, an international team said the 30-meter void deep within the pyramid is situated above the structure's grand gallery and has a similar cross-section. For the purpose of the space is unclear, and it's really not known whether it was built with a function in mind or it's merely a gap in the pyramid structure. But some experts, and this is the key, some experts have said they've known about such empty spaces for years. Okay. Yeah. Here's where it gets interesting, though. The scientists made the discovery, quote unquote, discovery, using cosmic ray imaging, recording the behavior of subatomic particles called muons that penetrate the rock similar to X-rays, only much deeper. Their paper was peer-reviewed before appearing in Nature and an international interdisciplinary journal of science, and its results is confirmed by other teams of scientists. Now, the chances of the space containing actual treasure or burial chambers are almost nil, but the discovery helps shed the light on building techniques. And there's two reasons why I wanted to talk about this article. First of all, it's really cool. I like the pyramids, and any news on the pyramids is cool as long as it's actual news. And the second thing is they, in the article, depicted an augmented reality where they were visualizing how the pyramid looked, what the chamber looked like. Now, watch the YouTube video that accompanied this article as well. And it went into a lot more depth. There is supposedly a walkway, which, again, scientists have said they've known about for years. But there's this walkway that goes in really close to the main entrance. And it's been blocked for years. And the walkway stops about, I want to say, 30 meters in. And then, at least the imaging does. But then they've got this imaging of this grand chamber. Now, apparently, they have had access to something for a while. So what they're going to do is they're going to penetrate the small opening with new robots, new exploratory robots, to see exactly what is in this void, this expanse within the pyramid. So it's all going to be great. I don't think they're going to find anything. I think it's all been robbed before. This pyramid has been through a lot since the Middle Ages and even before that. It's 4,500 years old. I doubt it's got too many secrets left. And I think the main reason for this chamber is probably structural, as they're saying. But we'll see eventually once we find out. So stay tuned. Going to find out a bunch about it. But now the important part about this imaging is that, say, there's an earthquake in like Mexico City and Los Angeles or something like that, even New York, they can use this technology to determine voids of where they're most likely to see survivors. So there's more applications to this than just scientific discovery. There's actual uses of it, but it takes a lot to set up, so it needs to be refined. And if they want to play with the pyramids to refine the technology and just say they're discovering stuff, I'm fine with it. Go ahead. If it gets you funding to create better technology, I'm good with it. In the meantime, if I just take all that away and pretend that this is all real, cool, you found a new chamber in the pyramid.
Okay, so before we talk about an also really cool piece and related news to this, you said that you believe that there's nothing in there anymore, right?
Yes, I believe that there's nothing in there. Yeah. That's a belief. I don't know for sure.
I was going to say, you said that really confidently, and how come you're so confident that there's nothing inside there anymore?
Because I'm pretty sure some grave robber has gotten in there already. I mean, these pyramids are pretty explored.
Yeah, pretty sure that by, quote, grave robber, that was actually you.
Look, just because Stargate SG-1 appeared that the pyramids were flying spaceships doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Let's go with the void here.
Chris, you had a really interesting related piece of news in regards to SP's void, didn't you?
Sure, it was something that I ran across. I think it was either on Facebook or Twitter. But if you guys aren't aware, there is a game from Ubisoft that just came out called Assassin's Creed Origins. Now, whatever your feelings are in the Assassin's Creed franchise, this is the one that's supposedly going to be the birth of everything. And it takes place in ancient Egypt. And the developers at Ubisoft have been listening to some of those researchers that theorized there was a hidden room in the pyramids there. And they've actually already put the hidden room in the pyramids in the game. Like, when the game shipped, there was a hidden room that kind of correlated to pretty much where this room was found to be. So I just thought that was kind of cool that it's already in the game that's set in ancient Egypt.
Yeah, and I think that that kind of actually goes to prove a little bit that the whole basis for this news point, the recent big articles that have been coming out, are kind of overhyped. You know, obviously, they're just somebody discovered this and really ended up just putting it out there now and making kind of a news story where there isn't one, because I'm guessing that Ubisoft knew about this long before this article. So I think it's cool, but it obviously is a discovery that isn't as fresh as these articles are making us think that it is.
Yeah, I think the real story here, again, is the use of cosmic ray imaging to detect voids in hard rock. So it could be useful in mining. I said rescue operations before, but there's a whole bunch of uses for this. So it is not without merit, but to make this cool and to sell the research, I can see why they're saying, ooh, look at the stuff we found in the pyramids.
Which SP has already robbed.
Look, just because we took the Stargate out of me.
All right, and moving on to our extra news story. This first news point is fantastic. Let's be honest. We've been arguing for a while about Twitter characters. We've been talking about whether it should be the 160 characters it is now, or it should go all the way up to the 280 that some people, the elite people, are getting to use. Well, a couple of Twitter users decided that 280 wasn't enough, and instead they should probably tweet 35,000 character tweets. Yeah, that's right. There's two people who legitimately found a way to manipulate the system and tweet out a 35,000 character tweet.
I love this.
It's fantastic. They actually, of course, did end up getting blocked and taken down from Twitter. They are back online now, and apparently they fully admit that they will continue to try to find Twitter vulnerabilities. And I think that that's actually pretty good, because obviously if they got back online, they must have worked out something back room with Twitter to look for vulnerabilities. And yeah, what it ultimately came down to is they found an exposure within the way that within links on Twitter work. So that's how they were able to get around the character limit and were able to tweet a 35,000 character tweet.
That's crazy.
That tweet's taken down now, by the way, but if you want to go ahead and check that out, just search for 35,000 and I'm sure it'll come right up. But yeah, you can see some screenshots of it. It's pretty crazy.
So if you want to get a sense of how big 35,000 characters is, yeah, it's about 1/100th of the Bible.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really great. The next new extra news point that we have is one that I have a feeling that SP is just going to sit up a little straighter, brush off his shoulders a little bit, and it comes out of the Android world. Last week, over 1 million people downloaded a fake WhatsApp Messenger. If you're not familiar with this, the Android store has kind of become notorious for this, where people have been skirting the system and coming up with fake versions of the apps by manipulating characters. They go and they use special characters, essentially, or spaces. And yeah, apparently somebody did this with WhatsApp. This is the largest fake download that's come out of the app store, and apparently it was over 1 million people. Now, that seemed pretty high to me, but it, apparently that was the case. Over 1 million in the course of a week with a fake WhatsApp before they pulled it down. It still, as I read this news point, seems very high to me. But in any case, I hope they figure this out. This is really frustrating to see that this was possible to be downloaded that much, because you never know, right? Like, you know, what if it was something that had more secure information like banking? It's not good.
There's tons of examples of this, and there's going to be even more and more of this occurring. Cell phones have been, I won't say immune to viruses, but they haven't been the target of viruses that much until lately. It was the old, get a Mac. There's no viruses for the Mac. Well, that's just because most hackers were playing in the Windows world. Now, I don't think anything is safe. I think there's just too many hackers out there in the world trying to exploit anything they can get their hands on. So if you download an app and then all of a sudden your identity is stolen because you didn't verify that the app was a true app, I think that's on you at this point. And if you haven't heard about this, then you need to do it. I heard about this particular thing on my Amazon assistant news flash. There you go. I didn't actually enable anybody's. So yeah, I heard this as I was eating dinner and I was like, okay, yeah, this is going to be more and more now. It could happen to me on iOS sometime too. You know, it's not immune. So yeah, it's coming. Beware.
Beware. Chris Farrell has our resident hacker here. What's your thoughts?
It's not the first time it's happened. It's not the last time it's going to happen. Like you said, people are going to try and find these exploits to put a damaged app out there so they can try and scrape information out. Just be wary.
You know, the type of fake app I could get behind is a Twitter app that will allow me to tweet 35,000 character tweets. That's the type of fake app I want to see.
How do you get to the point where you're like, oh, well, it won't have any more characters? I mean... How do you have 35,000 character tweet just ready to go?
It was funny. Gibberish. That's what it was. But yeah. So there's your extra news points for the week, as well as the rest of your news. If you got something to say and you think we should talk about it, please always get in touch with us. You can find us at twitter.com/gunnageek. You can find us at facebook.com/gunnageek. Or just email podcast@gunnageek.com. Please let us know what's your geeky interest so we can talk about it here on the gunnageek.com show. We're always looking for news points, especially the slow news weeks, which is almost every week. Let's go ahead and do Chris's Tap That App. Tap!
While you may know that Chris loves phones, tablets, and other gadgets, did you know that he's also a master tap dancer? Time for him to combine these passions. Welcome to Chris Taps That App.
I like it when I get to dance for you guys.
We all picture you on a stage, by the way.
Well, it's because it was totally me that did that. We recorded that live for the voiceover work.
I feel like there's a GunnaGeek.com show promo in there somewhere.
With a pink tutu.
What are you going to tap this week, Chris?
So... before I get to the app itself, let me pose you guys a question. When you go and buy a Blu-ray or a DVD, it comes with a digital copy. What do you guys do with those digital copies?
Oh my, don't get me started on this. Oh, this is something that just last year I started to redeem them. And it is so frustrating because I was like redeeming them in Canada. The go-to ones that y'all use in the States aren't available here. So I think I started to use actually the what's called the Cineplex one, I think it was. And I ended up tying it into my Ultra AV or whatever account that it is where possible. But then you get the ones which don't work with that service. So then I'm like, you know what I better do? I better redeem it. And I'm like, what should I use it for? What should I do? And I found another service that did it. And then I have my brother who's an Apple user saying, look, I'm an Apple user. Well, he was at the time. I'm an Apple user. And I redeem it on Google Play because it's just so convenient because it's on my desktop. It's everywhere. So I started doing that. So I have a library full of a whole bunch of different places that my movies are spread out. And now I just redeemed one last week, Wonder Woman. And I'm like, I did it on Google Play, but should I have done it on Apple TV because of the free up to 4K later down the road? And anyways, it's just frustrating because my movies are everywhere because they're digital. There's my rant.
So SP, what do you do with them?
Are you going to have to buy the White Album again? Yeah. So what do? I just started, I believe about 9 months ago, really. And yeah, I have redeemed some in the past. I've redeemed them to iTunes. So I have some in the Apple, but I really wasn't keeping up with it as they were coming in about 9 months ago. I'm like, you know, this streaming thing actually is starting to work a lot better. I need to look into these options. So I went Ultraviolet with Vudu. That seems to be the key demographic across most movies. There are some that it doesn't work for, but mostly here in the United States, Vudu is where you go to, at least for me right now. I'm sure that'll change in 18 months and then I'll have to buy all these new movies again. Oh well.
Can you go down there? Question, can you do the Disney ones on Vudu?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. You can do Disney movies. So like SP, I use Vudu primarily for things, partly because I figured it's one that would have a bit more sticking power, because if you didn't know, Walmart owns Vudu. That's why I kind of went, you know, this one's got a bit of a chance of sticking around. They've put out a free tier of free movies and stuff people can watch with ads. So I felt a little safer there. I used the ultraviolet redemption capability they have in there, which allowed me to share movies in some places. Now, about a year ago, I found out about a service that Walt Disney put out. It was called Disney Movies Anywhere. So that when you redeemed a Disney movie on Vudu or on iTunes or on Amazon or something like that, if you synced your accounts with Disney Movies Anywhere, those movies showed up everywhere. So if I redeemed it on Vudu, it would also show up on Amazon and Google Play and things like that. So all of the Marvel movies were like that. All of the Star Wars movies, with the exception of A New Hope, were like that. It was great. It was convenient. And then I could just use the Vudu app on my Rokus, on my Android TV, on my tablets, on my phones to watch all of my movies. It made things simple. But then I got an email early October that said, hey, Disney Movies Anywhere is shutting down. And I went, no, I had my own little moment of rage there, but it's okay. In its place, they put together a new app that they called Movies Anywhere that launched on October 17th. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. Movies Anywhere is an app slash service that takes all of your movies you've bought with Amazon, with Google Play, with Vudu, with iTunes, and puts them all in one place. Meaning if I've bought a bunch of movies on iTunes like Steven has, but then I bought a few things on Google Play, I can use this one app to view all of my movies through one place. And it syncs them across all of these platforms too. So where this gets interesting is Movies Anywhere, created by Disney, it's backed by Warner Brothers, Disney, Universal, Sony, and Fox. So any film that you have a digital copy of will appear in the Movies Anywhere's app from those studios. That will then propagate out to any of the other services, so Amazon and Vudu. If you link them, it will show up. Paramount, Lionsgate, MGM, and United Artists, they're the biggest holdouts right now. That means no Godfather, no Indiana Jones, no Hunger Games, no old school James Bond movies. You can't redeem them and have them work through Movies Anywhere and appear on any of these locations. But that being said, Disney has said that Movies Anywhere is designed to be an open platform, so any studio that's currently not on board can join later once they iron out some licensing deals. So it's a pretty sweet perk there to be like, hey, I can make it so I can view all these movies that I've bought through all these different services in one place. And here's an even better perk that they put out there. You know me, I like free stuff. I like free stuff a lot. When Movies Anywhere launched, and this promo is still going, if you linked all of your accounts, your iTunes, your Apple, your Vudu, your Google Play, they gave you 5 movies for free. Here's the 5 movies they gave you. Some of them good, some of them meh. First one, the 2016 Ghostbusters reboot, the Lego movie, the latest Jason Bourne, Ice Age, and Big Hero 6. You link your accounts to Movies Anywhere, you got those movies for free. In HD. I like free stuff. I linked my services in there. So here's one of the catches with Movies Anywhere, though. This is only ever going to be movies. There are no plans to do any cross-linking of TV shows. So if you've bought TV shows on Amazon or on Vudu or on Google Play, they will not work through this cross-play service.
That's a bummer, because I bought The Expanse Season 1 and Season 2 on Vudu.
I wager the licensing is even more difficult, because you've got, instead of like a big 8 movie studios or whatever, you've got all the different TV production houses you'd have to iron out.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, because it's not just what, I mean, some of these places aren't even owned by any of these, the TV stations aren't owned by any of these major studios. So, yeah.
Right. So let's get into the apps here, because that's what this segment's all about. It's all about tapping that app. So if I want to use the Movies Anywhere app to watch movies, well, what devices does it work on? Well, here's the good news. It's on most of the major devices out there. If you have iOS, that means iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, there's a Movies Anywhere app for that. It's out there for Android and Android TV, so you can put it on that. It's out there for the Roku. It's out there for the Amazon Fire TV, the Fire Stick, the Fire Tablet, and you can also use your browsers for Windows and Mac. All of those are available. However, no game consoles yet. That doesn't mean there won't be apps coming for it, but if you have an Xbox One or a PS4, You can't use the Movies Anywhere app because it doesn't exist there yet. But hey, that's okay. If it doesn't exist there, you just go back to one of the standbys. Vudu, Amazon, Google Play, they will all have all of your movies in them. You don't have to use Movies Anywhere.
So question, if you have an Xbox and you're browsing the web on the Internet Explorer, can you get the Movies Anywhere through that?
I didn't try it. My guess is you have to install a plugin of some kind, be it Silverlight or Flash or something like that. And I don't know whether it would let you do that on an Xbox or a PlayStation. I honestly didn't try it. I will go back and try and do that later. Now, they did say one of the cool things I found out about with all this syncing across devices is using the Movies Anywhere app, you can't watch anything in 4K. You can't watch anything 3D, anything like that. However, we have all these links and other services. So remember, iTunes is doing a bunch of upgrades of your stuff to 4K. There are people that are reporting there's movies they've bought in iTunes they got the 4K upgrade to, and they could watch in 4K on Vudu as well. So it looks like in some cases, this 4K upgrade is crossing services also. Now, I haven't seen any reports of someone buying an HD movie in Vudu and getting the 4K version of it in iTunes if they played through that store. So I haven't seen much on that yet. Not to say it couldn't happen.
I am so frustrated with digital. And, you know, like, this is...
You're gonna get more frustrated as I go on, Steven.
It's so, like, it sounds so good on the surface, but, like, we don't... The reason I never used the Vudu was because we don't have it up here. So, like, I don't even think... Like, this stuff's never gonna come to Canada. Continue.
So we'll continue. Only a few more points I had left. If you use the Movies Anywhere app to play back movies, it's going to sync your progress across those devices. So if I started to watch a movie on my Android TV and I turned it off and I went upstairs to go finish it on my Roku, it's going to pick up right where I left off. That's a pretty cool feature. But again, nothing different from what you haven't seen already in Google Play and Amazon and all of those other things. You also have the capability to do offline viewing. 8 devices can download a maximum of can download videos and keep them for a 12-month period. It'll stay over a 12-month period, rolling 12-month period. Excuse me, I couldn't read my own notes there. However, you can only have it for 90 days offline at a time. You have to connect to the internet every 90 days or it's going to expire your downloads. One last thing I did find that was really cool in the app before I get into some of the catches on it. If you're using the web or you're using any of the services and you want to buy a movie through Movies Anywhere, it's going to bring up the storefront for all these different services. And while that sounds cool on paper, it's not exactly cool in practice because it doesn't show you the prices in any of these services. So you can't price match or price compare between Amazon and Vudu and iTunes. You have to click a link and it takes you to the store. You see the price in that respective store and then decide to buy. So comparison shopping, not so great. And if you use Movies Anywhere on the iOS side of the house, you only get the ability to buy movies from iTunes because of the Apple Store requirements that Apple gets a 30% cut of any transactions to go through it. So they limit it to only Apple Store transactions through Movies Anywhere on iOS. I guess technically that's a catch.
That is. I think that's a catch.
Yeah. So let's get into the catches on this app, the things that might trip you up a little bit, that might make you go, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. So the first one, you get a maximum of 4 streams running at one time, so long as all of your viewers are watching different films. So if you have 4 TVs in your house that are streaming off of Movies Anywhere, you're okay. If you had a 5th TV and you wanted to watch something that's on there, just load up one of the other apps and that gets you around that limitation of 4 consecutive or simultaneous streams. Another catch, you can only get 2 simultaneous streams of the same movie per account. So if Steven and I both wanted to watch Star Wars and we were in different rooms of the house, and SP did also, he's hosed. It's not going to work. He'd have to go into Vudu or iTunes to watch it there.
That's okay. I know you said that's a catch, but I actually think that's okay. Like, I think 4 is quite reasonable, and 2 of the same movie is very, very reasonable.
It depends many people are in your family or how many people have access to your account. Now, I'll go back to family. So if you have a big family, you have like 5 kids, this could become an issue.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that is you got to remember that before any of this digital streaming, you would have physically had to pass the disc. And that's why I think it's totally acceptable.
And remember, there is a workaround. Discs. Well, yeah, that's true too.
You would have bought multiple discs. Just like if you bought multiple discs, you all could have these on your own account and watch as much as you want.
And remember, there's a constant workaround here that is, if you're using too many streams and movies anywhere, just use one of the apps that it's syncing with, and that gets you around that limitation. So theoretically, you could then have another four streams going if you had one stream going out of the other services each. So it's not terrible. A couple more catches right now. Like I said above, not all studios on board. So you have like MGM, United Artists, Lionsgate. They're not on board yet. They might sign a deal and do that. So right now, if you bought the Hunger Games movies or redeemed them through Vudu, that's not going to show up in movies anywhere or any of the apps that you link it with. Two more notes I got for you guys. It's gotten better, but it still could take anywhere from 1 to 3 hours, it seems like, for movies to cross-propagate between services. So don't get anxious if Star Wars isn't showing up immediately once you link your Google Play account in. It takes a little bit of time for everything to trickle down. It's a little slow, and it seems like Vudu might be the slowest connection to be made based off the reports I've been reading. And finally, the one Steven's not going to like. Here's the legalese. Here's the catch. Movies Anywhere is only available to residents of the United States who are 13 and older. However, once registered from a US-based IP address, users should be able to then access the features internationally. So, Steven, there's your loophole.
No, he didn't hear you.
He didn't hear the loophole I gave him.
No, he didn't hear the loophole. Yeah. So they get a great prime minister, but it sucks for them to stream just about anything except for Corner Gas. I bet you Corner Gas is available.
That's true.
Okay, so during your segment here, you reminded me. I'm going to go back to my frustration until we're done this whole segment. I literally made a spreadsheet to catalog where my different movies were redeemed. And I looked, and one of the places, one of my columns that I had was a place called Cinema Now. Guess what? I just found out it doesn't exist anymore.
Did it get rolled into something else?
No, but it was tied into the Ultraviolet service. I don't know if you have that down there. And that is a bit of a syncing service. So, like, I just looked and, like, all the stuff that was... I'm sure I redeemed a couple of them in there. And they are showing on, like, Flixster and also just in my Ultraviolet library.
Most of the movies that I redeem through Ultraviolet and then choose the Vudu option from there. So they are synced to Ultraviolet, but I choose to watch them through Vudu. This is the only frame of reference I have for a service like this is comic books. And it's a system that was worked out a couple years ago, continues to evolve, where Comixology is actually linked to different things. Now, Comixology is owned by Amazon, so you can buy comics on Comixology or through Amazon, and those are linked. Marvel has linked their comics, not Marvel Unlimited, but the Marvel comics that you actually buy through their service is linked into Comixology. And now DC Comics is now linked to Comixology as well. So Comixology is a central point where you can get all your comics. This is very similar to that. And I know they're separate entities, but I think we're going to see more and more of this one portal to get all of your electronic content.
You know, and that portal to me was Ultraviolet. And so this whole like solution here is great for the movies that it's applicable for. But Ultraviolet is a great example on how it doesn't fully work unless everybody's on board, because Ultraviolet, I couldn't do that with any of my Disney stuff. And that's all my stuff that is sitting there on Google Play. All the other stuff is syncable. So when like that Cinema Now thing happened, I'm still set. But if I have Google Play movies go away tomorrow, I'm losing a ton of titles.
I think you're relatively safe there. But yes, that is an accurate thing. And I think that Movies Anywhere is Disney's play to be like, look, Ultraviolet's a pain in the butt for a lot of people to figure out to get syncing properly. Let's just get these agreements in place so that if I redeem one movie in one place, it's going to show up in any of these stores and make it so you can buy movies through these respective stores by going through our app. It's an interesting play, and I think it's a lot simpler than sticking to the Ultraviolet method for doing things. And Steven, there is a loophole. Next time you're on vacation in the United States, you can set up your Movies Anywhere account here, and then it will work internationally. You just have to register from a US IP. You're good. We've got you. You're covered.
Awesome. Can I remote into your computer for 10 minutes after the show?
Sure. I'll get you into my computer. You can do what you need to.
Isn't that the same computer that you shipped off with the StarCraft game in it?
Yeah, exactly.
In Castlevania.
You know, the thing is, though, like, I just don't see why this needed to be made. Like, it's Disney keeping their control is what it is. They're saying, you do it our way. And that's the way that it's going to be. And they're trying to make other people who have had a successful run with Ultraviolet. And I don't know. It's just frustrating to me. But kudos to having more than just one. Because if it comes to Canada, yes, I will absolutely support this so that my Disney titles are going between services. They're the ones that I can't go between services. So I will definitely embrace it.
Look, Disney got Google, Amazon, and Apple to play nice together. That's a huge win right there. As far as I'm concerned, they did something that's nearly impossible. They got the three of them to go and go, oh yeah, we can work together on something like this.
you know who's really happy about this? Disney stockholders.
Almost as happy as they were today to find out about Fox and possibly, you know, them taking and acquiring Fox.
Hey, Disney's going to do anything to get those superheroes back, right?
Yeah, exactly. But if you didn't catch it out, you should see that it's all in the rumor stages. But yeah, long story short, that there's a strong rumor that Disney has been conducting talks to acquire most of 21st Century Fox. Now, what it boils down to is they're looking at most of the traditional entertainment side of things, not the sports and the news, because they've already got ABC, so they can't legally own two broadcasts. So that's why they're thinking of just looking at the more traditional entertainment and whatnot, not the sports entertainment and news.
It's an interesting play in this regard, because remember, Disney has the rights to all of the Star Wars movies but one. 20th Century Fox retains the distribution rights for Star Wars A New Hope. So, interesting play. And there's the part of me that has a little hope, if this actually happens, that maybe we get the despecialized versions of the original trilogy out on Blu-ray, because they have the distribution rights again.
That's a whole separate argument, and I've heard arguments on that what is the original movie, because there's like 12 different versions of it. So,
fair.
Yeah, there is that. Also, don't forget that Fox owns the rights to the Marvel Mutants, so that's another grab that they could make. I don't know what's going to come or not. We wanted to actually talk about this as a main story, but it is all in rumors. I would expect that within the next week or two, whatever is happening is going to firm up, and we will actually take a lot of time to talk about it and all of its ramifications.
Yeah. How I was going to tie it back into your point, though, is that it would be interesting to see how that changes the digital landscape. If they had 20th Century Fox, can you imagine that? Can you imagine what that would do with the sort of stronghold that Disney would have on the way that movies work?
Well, yeah, I mean, look who's winning the box office mostly right now. You've got Disney with their animation, with Star Wars, with Marvel. They're making a killing right now.
You're having a lot of movies that are not killing, though, now, too. So maybe the savior of the film industry is to actually back off on production and allow some of these big hits to be big hits and not flood the market so much either. This is a whole other discussion to have some other time, too.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, thank you very much for that, Chris. We kind of hijacked it at the end. But I, you know, as grumbly as I am about the whole digital movie thing, I am happy to see something coming that allows you to share those Disney movies, because those are definitely the ones that right now I have personal fear about, given that I have two of them with, I think it's Cineplex, and then the rest with Google Play. I'd like to see some cross compatibility there for myself. If you do digital movies, we want to know, how do you best find them? Do you find them managed in one spot, one app? Do you like the Ultraviolet thing? Do you like just going to the Apple Store or Google Play? What's your preference? Please do get in touch with us through any of the ways we previously mentioned, or just go to GunnaGeek.com and let us know. Do you digital movie? For me, these have been great on the road when I've just been like, oh, I'd like to watch that. I did that with Rogue One, actually, a few trips back. I decided, like, I felt like watching Rogue One again.
Guys, one last thing. I just realized Fox also owns the rights to Deadpool, so you could get Deadpool in the MCU if they bought them.
Okay. I hope that we get more information so that we can talk about this in depth. So, but that is going to take us towards the end of the show. Before we wrap up, we'll go around the table and plug and promote and do whatever we'd like to do here. Let's start off with the one and only Stargate Pioneer.
Yeah, so the holiday season is upon us, and I just want to plug or promote the fact that if you like feel-good holiday movies, the Hallmark Channel has 21 new holiday films, and two of them have already aired, so if you've missed them, I'm sure they'll re-air, but there are 19 more new ones to come.
And don't worry, not only 19 of them have Dean Cain as a star.
Sweet Superman!
Guys, there are a bunch of comic book and sci-fi actors in these movies. You need to check them out if you want to see your favorite characters in your CW shows, in your sci-fi shows. Odds are they have made at least one, if not five, Hallmark holiday Christmas movies.
Next thing you know, SP is going to tell me to watch the Star Wars holiday special.
It's canon.
Chris, do you have anything that you want to plug or promote?
Yes, I would like to remind folks to tweet at producer Cody that you want him to review Castlevania. He's going to love hearing from you guys. He loves Castlevania, and that'll back up his assertion that we're going to review Castlevania. So tweet to at producer Cody, Castlevania.
And I'm just going to go ahead and give a special shout out to a few people on the Gunna Geek Network. We had Keith, as well as we had Cody Goff and Jonathan Martin last week participate in Extra Life. It was a fundraiser. If you're not familiar with Extra Life, check it out. It is a awesome charity fundraiser that happens every year that you can play games to help get donations. It's awesome. And both of them participated separately. And so we had the Game Life Balance, Jonathan Martin, as well as Cody Goff, on their channel, and we had Keith on his, and it was a lot of fun, and I checked out both of them. I actually Saturday evening ended up going into Keith's because Game Life Balance US was not on anymore, and Keith was sitting there playing Jackbox. That's a fun little party game. If you're not familiar with it, it's really cool. You grab your phone and you all sit around a TV, and it's just a really fun, like, in-person game. And he was streaming this. There was a group of people in his house playing it. So that was a lot of fun just to watch that. I felt really creepy.
Why would you feel creepy? You do that every day.
Because
that's just how he likes it.
That's true. But no, it was awesome. So kudos to all of you who were involved and anybody who's listening who participated in Extra Life. I feel like next year I got to make my debut. I feel like I should get involved next year. We have the Gunna Geek show team.
Do it with your kids.
We could have the Gunna Geek show team. But for episode 214 of the official GunnaGeek.com show, I'm Stephen John Drew saying you should review Castlevania.
And I'm SP saying I'm really looking forward to the 2017 Gunna Geek Hallmark Holiday Special.
I'm Chris Farrell saying I cannot wait for that Game Life Balance US review of Castlevania.
Twitter.com/producer Cody.
Do it, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the GunnaGeek.com show. If you enjoyed it, please give us a 5-star review in iTunes or a thumbs up on YouTube. We encourage you to send your feedback by email to show@GunnaGeek.com. You can find our entire archive at GunnaGeek.com/show. And while you're there, why not check out all of the other geeky content on the Gunna Geek Network? Want to chime into our live chat? Join us Mondays at 8:45 p.m. Eastern at www.geeks.live. The music heard on this show is by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. This show was produced and edited by Stephen John Drew of Gunna Geek Productions. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.